Bible, we wouldn't walk under ladders. We wouldn't, if we broke a mirror, we'd be looking around our back, over our shoulder for 7 years, all them things. And I know your grandmother was well-intentioned or your great-grandmother, but let's face it, around here, we talk about we got the Bible, but for years we had superstitious things that overrode the Bible. I'm not talking about up north and out west, not down south. And I can say this with good conscience, I is one, and I remember everything under the sun. Good religious people that would never, ever cuss, because that's against God. You let a black cat shoot out in front of their car, they'd cuss in a second. And as a little kid, I'd look over and like, Daddy, why did you say that? And or whoever was with us, not just him. But, and they'd say, well, you got to cuss that black cat when it goes in front of you. Every person around here, they practice that. Some practice it when cars pulled out, too. But that's, I'd bring it out of them, too, or slow drivers and you're trying to get somewhere, whatever it was. But there's always stuff like that, those vain babblings, those profane things and stuff like that. And the Bible warns that that'll increase into more ungodliness. I got a black cat, bless his heart. As he's gotten older, he's got one thing he likes to do. When I sit in my chair, he wants to sit right here and make biscuits on my chest and then lay down and get mad if I got to reach for my water or something. I'm like, don't you correct me. Strangle you, Right? You right there. But he starts all that stuff, and I'm thinking, back in my day, if you were been alive back in my day, you know what that done to you, stupid cat? That'd have cussed you. They've been scared to death. Black cat, And I know he's got one little white spot right here, and he makes me feel guilty and want to confess things to him all the time, but, father buddy and all that stuff, right? But he says there about that stuff, he says in verse 17, and their word will eat as doth a canker. And a canker in the Bible is like cancer of the day. He said, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus? And the cancer, if you know anything about cancer, you've had loved ones with cancer, they'll find it, and then it grows from there. That's why they try to do radiation, chemotherapy to keep it from growing. But he says, the spread of that thing is whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, and it says, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past, already and overthrow the faith of some. When we consider these profane and vain babblings, that stuff spreads and it's like a cancer in the body of Christ. And what it will do is it'll cause people to practice more of that superstitious stuff than the scriptural things that they need to be adhered to. That's why we study Bible doctrine. And tonight I'll preach to you on the delivery of Bible doctrine. It's going to be in two parts. First part we'll deal with tonight is teaching Bible doctrine and why we teach Bible doctrine. And doctrine, of course, as we looked in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 2, means the act or result of teaching. You teach somebody something and you teach them scripture, God uses that to sow a seed in their life so down the road when they need it, they'll have something to reap of down there. And I feel sorry for churches that do not teach and preach Bible doctrine, because that hurts the people. They're trying to be the Joel Osteens of today around here. They're trying to be John MacArthur, or they're trying to be Phil Kidd, or they're trying to be Dr. Phil, or something like that. And I guess some of them's trying to be Oprah, depending on where you go to church at. But what they do is, they'll take a character other than Jesus Christ and make him an idol instead of somebody they're supposed to worship. And they'll replace Jesus Christ with them, and they'll filter everything they say through a person rather than through the scripture. And the delivery of Bible doctrine only works when it's delivered, listen to this, through the Holy Ghost. He's the one that helps us to live every day. He's the one that convicts us in the place of when the black cat's out prowling in front of your car. He's the one.
And not be sitting there in bondage to something that was for the Old Testament Jew? Ain't you glad when somebody comes and says, well, you're supposed to worship on Saturday, you can take them to a place in the Bible, and I don't have to tell you where it's at, where it says we don't worship on Saturday anymore, that he fulfilled the law. We got a Bible doctrine for that. We don't go home at night sweating what some coworker said, saying the Bible ain't true. I've got this YouTube video that says
so. You know, there's a lot of folks today that if they didn't have YouTube, they'd have chain letters or email chains or something like that. There's always something like that. But for every video you can produce that says the earth's flat, I can give you one that's round. In fact, I got a video I found the other day that all flat earthers need to watch. It's called All Things That Flat Earthers Say. And it doesn't make a mock of them. It tells them the truth. What are you, a bunch of flat earthers? Say, man. Don't tell me you stuck your foot in that hole. Unbelievable. I've had people try to argue that thing with me, and I don't care to argue it. Listen to this. Let me give you something practical about flat earth so you'll know this. What would it matter one way or another if it was flat or if it's round? Nobody's ever thought about it like that. What would it really matter? You claim there's a conspiracy by the government to keep us in the dark on it. Boy, have I got news for you. It ain't the government that's got a conspiracy going on to keep you in the dark. They're just a tool of the one who is doing that. You think on that a while before you think about this versus this. And to help set you in the right direction is found in Ephesians chapter 2, two of the most important things you'll ever see. One is a statement about the children of disobedience, and the other one is verses 8 and 9 on biblical salvation. If you have both of those things in the right place, you won't get fooled by all this crowd today. Listen to this. We're talking about Bible doctrine. It's got purposes, and the first purpose is, if you look down to chapter 3, verse 10, the first purpose is to clarify. Paul, writing to Timothy, says this, But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. He said, you've known all these things about me. How did he know that? Well, he traveled with him for years. He knew that when Apostle Paul came to town, he was going to go to the synagogue and reason with the Jews three Sabbaths. He'd done that whenever he went into a town. And he done that because he's the one that under the inspiration of God wrote to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He'd take the gospel out to the Jew first. He'd go reason with them, and by that three Sabbath days time, guess what they'd do with him? Try to kill him just over what he said. Now, you can imagine if you walked into a place and you tried to kill the occupants or the owner, somebody trying to kill you. But if you're just trying to teach them something that they haven't heard yet, can you imagine trying to be killed over that? Happens every day this planet spins.
Yeah.
It may not happen in your neck of the woods, but don't worry, your life ain't over yet. You may get to see it before you die. I'd rather go out being stoned to death over some people who rejected Jesus Christ than go out being stoned to death by sleeping with their wife. Are you listening to me? I'd rather go out teaching Bible doctrine and then get so mad they try to throw you off a cliff rather than not teach Bible doctrine and then find out Bible doctrine and want to throw you off the cliff. He said, thou hast known my doctrine, my manner of life. He knew how Paul treated the people down at the marketplace. He knew how Paul did when he went somewhere. He knew how Paul approached things. He knew when it's time to leave. He had been around the whole manner of life of the thing. He said, you know my purpose, why I was there doing what I was doing. You know my faith, how I believed God and trusted God in times when there was no way to do that. Yeah, he said, thou hast known my long suffering. He knew Paul had put up people past what he did. He said, do you know that about me? He said, my charity, what I did out of love. What I did because I love somebody, how I do something. And he said, thou hast known my patience. You talking about a patient person. That's Paul. Wonder where he learned that from. All the sufferings that came his way, that's how you learn patience. And listen, if John chapter 18, verse 19 and 20 is something that's believed in practice, we should do exactly the same. You say, what do you mean John 18, 19? Look over there a second. John 18, 19. John 18 and 19. If this right here, this will clarify things for you and help you. And one thing we've seen over the years with the Bible is we see Jesus did something, that might be a hint we ought to do it, right? Just a little small hint. Most of the time it's in your face as big as a billboard. And dealing with the word doctrine, John chapter 18, verse 19, the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. It says, Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple where the Jews always resort. So he preached and taught. He taught there, right there in the synagogue where they met every Saturday, and on the Sabbath days and on the holy days, and in the temple where they often were to go to and make a trip to and on purpose to go to that temple. And it says, watch this, and in secret have I said nothing. There's a lot of people today that bless their hearts. They're so complicated. If you ask them what they believe about a simple subject, you better have a long time to listen. It's crazy. I used to work, Brother Ray John, that was here last year. It was here with Justin's funeral. If you watch the video, he's sitting right there. I'm sitting there looking at him, and all I can think about is back when we worked together, this guy. I think his name was Don, but I can't remember. It's been a couple of nights of sleep ago when all this happened, before I started pastoring his church. You know how you're on a job, you send somebody to get the stripe paint or the sky hooks and stuff, you know, the cookie sheet stretchers and whatnot, just for you ladies that worked on jobs. He told me to go ask Don what he believed. Not what he believed about something. Ask him what he believes. I go up and ask this dude that, and he looks at me and says, now, I don't have the time in which to really expound to you all things. It would take me quite a while. I said, not interested. You know who knew more than that guy? The Apostle Paul. And in secret, he said nothing. If it takes you more than a few minutes to tell what you believe, you might be out there on that cloud somewhere in la-la land reading books by people who claims they know the Bible better than the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do you know they think that? Because they keep correcting this book. It would be different if they had the mentality of, well, I use the NIV, and I think that's the 100% correct scripture. There's nobody believes that. It would be different if they said, I use the New King James, and I believe that's entirely scripture, no errors. They don't do that. They believe all of them contain some of it. This might contain some of it, but I got to go to the books written by dead men's brains over here to tell you that I use one of them to back up what I believe. Again, you're way too complicated. If God said he is going to do things and not do them in secret, I believe what he says. And that's exactly what Jesus says. He says, behold, in secret have I said nothing. Now notice this. We're talking about the purpose of Bible doctrines to clarify. Jesus summed it up like that. Paul summed it up by saying, here's what you know about me, but it has another purpose. Look over at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. So if we practice the doctrine of Jesus Christ being this, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, I said first, but 2 Timothy 3:16. If we're to practice what he said there in John 18, 19, we don't have things we believe in the closet and go and try to put them on the church later. There's a thing that's going on right now where people say they want to introduce contemporary worship. They've been saying this for 20 years. It ain't so contemporary now. But they're saying they want to introduce contemporary worship because that's more like what we need to have today, a Bible in our modern language, etc. But they tell lies about both things. Let me tell you what the truth is. Because listen to this. This is what I believe, and I'm not saying this in a closet to y'all not to say nothing to nobody. Number one, there's nothing contemporary about it. You go read the book of Daniel. They try to get all the instruments out there and try to get 13 instruments out there to play a little song to an idol they're supposed to all bow down to. Those were all contemporary for their day, right? What was they trying to do? Don't you dare pray, but you hear these things blow, you better come out and worship. And you better have your hands in there and better be clapping and everything else. Secondly, when somebody comes out with all that stuff, the deep, dark secret they don't tell you coming in when they take your little Baptist church with its pews and its pulpit is they want to change all that. And they want to change it to a model they've seen on television. out of some holiness outfit on TV or charismatic, Pentecostal, whatever they call themselves. I asked two Pentecostals today, was they charismatic? Did they go to charismatic church? They said, what's that? Bible doctrine, people, Bible doctrine. They don't teach it in places. They're trying to teach you about the Illuminati and the Masonic Lodge being in on the end times, and you know how they got the what was it called? The secret government and all that. That crowd ain't too secret. They'll tell you what they're doing. They'll come out and tell you. They're not keeping nothing back. I mean, have you been lied to by? I'm sure you haven't. They done it openly, didn't they? They didn't try to trick you. They just out and out lied about it. The only one they lie to is them goo-goo people. Oh, Joe Biden. Please. He don't even know who he is half the time. You don't speak conspiracy theories and all that other stuff? Get a close-up on this hand on him. That's all you got to do. It'll come plain to you, as plain as day. So what's on his hand? Well, it ain't a Rolex watch, but it is a PIC line where they run an IV to him all the time. That's not conspiracy stuff. That's in photographs. Remember in the debate he had a little black line right here? It was something you couldn't tell what it was. Well, it wasn't the earpiece that Obama was talking to him in. That was that thing where it's stuck in under his thing right here. How about that? Half of you, do not pick up your phone right now, whatever you do. I'll call you out on it. Lady, put that phone up. But just make note of that stuff when you see stuff like this. But watch this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. That's fully known the thing, right? Manner of life, purpose, so forth down there. And then if you look right down at verse 16, all scripture. Let me make this so plain to you, you can't miss it. If I am referring to this verse and I say all scripture, I'm agreeing with the author, all scripture. We always take things in context so we don't take them out of context, which makes it a pretext and make the Bible read whatever we want it to believe. I know no one in this world that when they say all scripture, when they use all the funny Bibles, I don't know not one of them that believes what they just said. Yep. So what do they believe? Listen to this. They won't tell the pulpit committee this in an old country Baptist church because they're afraid they won't get elected to get in to change everything and make them up to date. Here's what they miss. They don't take that thing in context. Because the commentary they read to tell them what the Bible just said says that scripture is a lost pile of papers that nobody's ever seen, that's never been in one book together, but somehow these eggheads go off to school, to a fornicating, adultery, beer-drinking school, live like that 4 to 6 years, and then come back here and tell you how to be godly. Context, verse 15, verse before it. He says this, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. According to their way of thinking, Timothy's mother and grandmother would have had all the original manuscripts of the Old Testament bound in one volume so they could teach him. Well, now, wait a minute. We don't believe in double inspiration in Victory Baptist Church. It's Pastor North's people believe in double inspiration. I've been lied on by that before, and I'm going to set the record straight for anybody who wants to listen. All scripture means this book in front of us. I believe God kept this one. Now watch. Now listen. For those of you out there that's messed up in the cabeza, let me tell you what you just thought. Either you thought this, or the devil told you. But. What about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? What about? Can I tell you something? Everything that just crossed your mind, either you are so spiritually warped, or the devil's trying to knock you out of the saddle. One or the other. Maybe he's mocking you on the ground where he already knocked you out of it. All scripture is given by inspiration. God didn't breathe into the thing. That is not how that word works. Theonoustos, God's spirit in every word. Y'all like the way I did that Greek thing, don't you? Listen here. Theonoustos, God's spirit in where? Every word. How'd he get there? Inspiration. Well, then they made mistakes copying it. Not according to Psalm 12, 6, and 7, that God will keep that book forever. How's he do it? You can't kill the Holy Spirit of God. You can't wipe him from existence. The only time planet Earth will be without the Holy Spirit of God for any point of time is going to be at the rapture of the church when he pulls the whole church out of here, backslid and all. And he's going to take them all out in one call from the Lord Jesus Christ. And for a very small period of time, they're going to be without the manifest presence of the Holy Ghost. They're going to be without the essential presence of the Holy Ghost. And the funny thing is, people can't get this in their heads because nobody's ever taught them. They've read books about the Bible instead of reading the Bible. But God said it plain. All scriptures give my inspiration. He didn't breathe into it. He put himself by the Holy Ghost in every word. So I don't believe that. Well, you're a liberal. You're the Kamala Harris of Baptist churches. You're the Hillary Clinton of Baptist churches. You're the John Kerry of religion. You're Joel Osteen. This book tells me everything I am. You don't read that book. Because if you read whatever it was you had there that contained any scripture in it, you wouldn't be raping God's people all their money. Well, I just don't like to speak bad about preachers like that in case it's the office I don't want to speak bad of. You are a tool of the devil that's in the wrong line of work like that preacher. Because God said to cry out, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, show thy people. Why? Because God can't get to them out of no other way but you telling them right. After all, they could read them stupid books themselves and be messed up like that. Or they could read good books, bad books, whatever. But the purpose of doctrine is to correct. All scripture is given, he says, by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's the preaching of this book, it's the teaching of this book that God uses to correct his people. Well, you know, when I do something wrong, God just whoops me. You look like you ain't been whooped since you was a child. You got to get here to get that. Well, I know you preach about chastening of the Lord. Yeah, but it seems like there ain't none of that going on. You know why they're not in this book? See, God uses this and will correct your life. There was a man told me when I was first in the faith, young in the faith, I went to get a box of tithing envelopes. Okay? The ones we had numbers on them. I always want to know who got 666, by the way, when he's handing them out. Because I'd have known which member to avoid. Amen and amen. But it had like 513479, some complicated number. And I asked the guy that was the guy that's handing them out, I said, why is this number on here? They said, well, that way you don't have to write your name on it. I said, come again? How are they going to know it's mine? Well, that number is going to be assigned to you. The only one to know it would be the treasurer. And I knew the treasurer at the church real well. And years later, I look back on that poor guy and I say, bless his heart. He knew whoever God robber in the place was. He sits there and he says, I says, so have you got a box of these? Oh, no, 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 I don't use them. So why don't you use them? Well, I want that between me and God. Why do you ask 689-5438? Let me spell this out for you. We don't want our name on it so nobody will know. And we don't want to everybody know what they're doing because whoever's making that statement, don't do it at all. Right. If you go to the average Baptist church on the average Sunday morning, you'll hear people listen. If they got a basement under where you got a wooden floor on the thing under the thing, you can't hear it as good here. But when it comes time for the ushers or deacons or whatever they got to take up the offering, it sounds like this. Four guys walking down there, and they're going to get down there, and they're going to have one of them's going to pray for the Sabbath day and all this. It's crazy. And then they're going to pass in plates and get everybody's numbered envelope. You don't write your name on there because you don't want nobody to know what you're giving. It's between you and God. It's private. Here's the funny part. Where do you find that in Scripture? Oh, well, it's let not your left hand know what's right hand. Where do you find that, though? Well, it's in the Bible, ain't it? I don't know. I'm asking you. It is in the Bible, but we'll get to that another time. But nonetheless, they don't know where it's at. They just know not to say nothing, because if they did, it exposed that God-robbing crowd that gave them a number and knew them a number so nobody know what anybody's doing. That way they can be a deacon for 14 years and never tithe a dime on any income they have. So we come down here, me and my wife. They called me to preach down here. I come down here, made me pastor, et cetera, et cetera. And about 5 years later, a guy took that church. Our pastor retired. And he called me one day and said, can I talk to you? I said, sure. We went up and met at a place and was talking. He said, I finally broke into the church computer last night. I'm like, what do you mean broke into the computer? He said, well, they told me I couldn't see any of the records, but they paid a Lutheran woman as a secretary to work there every day from 9 to 12, keeping all the records. I said, hold on. She's not a member of the church, and she knows everything that you don't. I said, they're paying you a grand salary and paying her minimum wage, and she's keeping her mouth shut? Don't sound like a problem to me. And the craziest thing happens. He was coming out of the office one day. You know how you get mad and you kick a trash can, right? Somebody ever done that? Well, you shouldn't. That's wrong. It's evil and sinful. Don't ever do that. But he said, I kicked the trash can because I was so frustrated. And he said, God told me to get down and get all that up. He said, so I'm getting it up. And I looked right above on that desk, and there set that password for that computer. He said, every deacon in this church has not tithed in the last 20 years, not one dime. He said, I went and looked at the deposits, and under the cash deposits, there wasn't enough there that one of them could have tithed in 20 years in just regular cash. You know, well, I just put mine in place. Ain't nobody's business. That guy, he don't tithe either. And they said all this, and it was one of them things where you're like, it's like, I said, what are you going to do? He said, I've already typed up my resignation. It'll be in Wednesday night. He said, but I just put a letter in the mail before I came here to every member of the church with them guys' tithing records over the last 20 years. Well, I want to give the guy a medal. What about you? Remember what I told y'all the other night about a church that runs our size, how we got the 95% of do's and the 5% of don'ts? A church that size has a 5% of do's and 95% of don'ts. Boy, I'd love to have been there the next day when they got them letters and the 5% find out the 95% been lying to them the whole time. Boy, that'd have been a good one, wouldn't it? What does that say? Hold this while I go get me some popcorn, you know. What we have is a very complicated problem that the scripture corrects. It's not my opinion that you should tithe. It's not my opinion that I should tithe. It's not my core belief or whatever people say. It's what the book says. And he said, all scripture is given by inspiration to do what? It's there to correct you. Why? Because the simple purpose is this. God uses that book to correct people. And once we know, listen, where the scripture is, we let it do the correcting, not somebody's opinion. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 and verse 3. He tells the preacher there, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. I've heard preachers preach on that verse and never get to the word doctrine. You've got to bring that in there and bring that about, because if not, there'll time come when they won't listen to any of it. And that's the next verse where he says that for the time will come when they will not give what? They will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, to make it very plain for you, if you don't like me, you go find somebody else that has a church or a religious building or whatever that tells you what you want to hear and not what you're doing. See, preaching the word, teaching the word, and doing sound doctrine, and how it's profitable for doctrine, how he says the with all suffering in doctrine. The crazy thing is this. That works, except with a crowd that don't believe the book. They don't want to hear it. Why would you drive all this way 3 times a week to have me holler at you? But I don't holler at you 3 times a week. Say word if I do. You picking up what I'm laying down? See, I'm talking to you in modern language here. I'm not just screaming at you. I use modern things sometimes. But I always use this. I believe this. I use it. I let it work on me, too, because I like it, too. I like to have what's in there. Why would you do that except doctrine works? Now, listen to this. The purpose of this book is to correct us. You know why? It ain't God that's wrong. We are. He said we've gone astray. How do you fix that? Teach people doctrine where they'll know not to go astray. And see, that doctrine is part of their daily food. And we get into the Bible doctrine. He said, there'll come a time not endure sound doctrine, but they'll heap the, but after their own lust, they'll heap teachers. It says, having itching ears. Well, I want to know how to live in the present COVID-19, post-COVID-19 world. You know how many sermons I've seen online that say that? 100 at least. You know how many of them use the Bible about it? I want to help your struggles in our COVID-19 world. I didn't know we had a COVID-19 world. We got a lost world. That's just a symptom of the problem. Wait a minute. I heard him say on thing of the night, he didn't believe in COVID-19. I didn't want to say it. I believe that thing's very real. But I don't believe how people handle it's real. Why? Because they've, after their own lust, have heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears. Hey, preacher, why you got your church closed? I ain't talking about the liberal crowd. I'm not a crowd. Why you got your church closed? Why you closing your church? Well, we've had an outbreak. Well, that's the first one you've ever had. You need to have an in break where they break in and we'll all come in. Listen, we ought to look at this thing like this. I understand there's problems. I understand people have all this other stuff. But why can't God protect people from that stuff? And why is it when somebody gets it, they act like it's the plague? I mean, let's just face reality here. These people relying on information. They didn't get out of this book about a virus that's not as deadly as they say it is to make you jump through hoops that you shouldn't be jumping through. Well, you got to wear them masks. They'll do it. Now they're telling us to wear three of them. It was just a matter of time, wasn't it? You know what I want to do? It's my opinion. This ain't the Bible. It's my opinion. Okay, I'm going to let you know that ahead of time. I want to get a football helmet, one of them cool Oakley visors on it, like I see some of them rich players have. Except I don't have it come all the way through the face mask. Now, I want a defensive lineman, one that's got stuff on it, not them little kicker face masks. I'm going to have the whole thing right here. Why? Because I'm a wimp. I'll admit it. I want the whole thing. I want the Oakley visor where you can't see my face and all this other stuff. And when I go into a place and they look at me funny, up under that thing, they'll see it. But I'll have a Darth Vader thing going. Helmet's going to be blacked out, visor blacked out, and they're going to look at me and I'm going to do that. And they're going to say, go get security. We got one of them crazies in here. And when they come down there and tell me I got to remove that, I'm going to tell them, COVID-19, I can't take it off. What's the difference? Them stupid guys, you got to wear two face masks. No, it's three. I mean, we don't have to have one at all. No, it's one. Let's admit something here. We don't know nothing about this thing. It's scaring us to death. Let's go back to the numbers. Knowledge changes. Math doesn't. Thank God Cherokee County has no flu. You got no pneumonia in the Carolinas no more. I don't know about the rest of the world. We ain't got none here. We got people dying of it every day, but they call it something else to fit a narrative that itching ears want to hear. Now watch this. The purpose of Bible doctrine is to correct. What do we got to correct? I'm glad you asked all that. Because see, I want you to come out here today saying, you know what, preacher, you didn't just holler at us and tell us we were awful people tonight, which I should. You can't get them to amen to these things, honey. I told you when I was down here, I just had a feeling. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. God didn't give you that. Where'd you get it at? Probably from the same place 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 happened. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's why I don't say them people wearing masks are idiots. Love, see. Why I don't fall for everything that somebody hands to me? Sound mind. Do y'all remember the atheist Madeline Murray O'Hare? You've heard of her. She had prayer taken out of school. Her son in the video that said, these Christians came up, they bullied me and made me pray, and they made fun of me because I didn't pray. He grew up, got saved, and said she lied about the whole thing, and he did too. Your chain letter didn't say that, though. Remember them getting a mailbox or that somebody said, preacher, I'm going to stand up. I got this letter today in the mail. Madeline Murray's trying to get the Christian television off there. Please let her do it. But by the way, she is already dead by then. We watched a special the other night. One of her own followers, he took all her money. the head in the bank, killed her and her other son that she had with her and this other follower, buried him back out in the field. They'd have never known who she was if she wouldn't have had a hip replacement. Things had a serial number. Your bionic knee had one. They said that they didn't put it in. They didn't tell you that. But you got a serial number. If you've had a Margie, you got two with serial numbers. I mean, that's how they figure out who these people are. But here's the funny part. Out of all the stupidity and things that people can do, you know what they do? They buy into some garbage like that, and that woman's been dead 15 years. The last one I heard of said that they were going to take Christianity off the internet. Please tell me where it was at to take it off. These guys, as our brethren, have preached scorching message on television and how evil television is, but not one time have I changed the channel from 4 to 5 and pornography show up out of the blue like that. But you've been on the internet and you get an ad saying, click here for free money. And there it is. Oh, I'd never do that. I'd pull that thing out. But you got one, though. You never preach against it. You never preach how these sex trafficking rings snatch these little teenagers by sending fake emails and talking to them on chat on their little cell phones that you shouldn't have gave them and them 5 years old. That you never monitor, and when you ask their phone, say, no, I ain't giving it to you. Bless God, I pay the bill. You'd hand it right over. I'd have it cut off, and you'd just have something sitting there.
Right.
Well, allow to use the Wi-Fi password. No, I'll have that changed, too. I'm not as dumb as I look. I'll call the cable company. I'll say, how do I do all this? And if they won't tell me, we'll cut the whole thing off in a second. So what's that got to do with Bible doctrine? Everything. Everything. Because, see, its purpose also, look over Titus chapter 1. I got to get done. You got to get out of here so you can get back to work or wherever it was you're at right before you got here. And I know you're in a hurry to get to Walmart. You probably got to shop there. They're not 24 hours anymore. You can't make it up there, yada, 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 right? So the purpose of Bible doctrine clarifies, corrects, and it'll convince. Titus chapter 1, verse 9, to Titus, who was pastoring a church, holding fast the faithful word as it hath been taught. And there's the problem. They don't teach him nothing no more. That he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. The gainsayers is people who believe in gain, whether it's financial or it's personal. And by that, let me say this. Well, we're running 10. We're not of God. We're running 1,000. Therefore, we are of God. That is the Southern church mentality. If your church is not growing, God bless you, sweetheart. We'll pray for you. If your church is growing, I'll come join next week. There's only one problem. They all get to a certain size and die. They plateau and die. And the preacher gets depressed. And the deacons want to run him off and everything else. And they have to go somewhere and start over. Y'all know I'm telling this right. What do you do when you got so many that God says, name them off in prayer and pray for them by memory and you can't do it? What happens when three of them are having surgery on a Sunday morning and your deacons all say, well, it looks like you got a lot of work to do there, preacher. Well, we got an associate pastor that does weddings, one that does funerals. No, it ain't no associate pastor job. That's your job. I'm calling you out on it. That's your job. Listen, here's how it works. If two of you die today, let's hope that never happens at the same time, and you got funerals at 3 o'clock and at 3 o'clock, I can't be at both. I'm not the multi-presented person you think I am. Thus, if you get sick, you need to call me because I can't read your mind. But what I will say is this. If y'all both want them at 3, let's do them at the same time. You know, I mean, that's the only thing I know to do. Or 2 and 4, or 2 and 3, whatever. But, well, I'll send my associate over there. All my associates are right here. And if there's 1,000 of you, all my associates will be sitting right here. You learn very hard lessons sometimes, that some of these offices we make up are not in the Bible, and therefore we pay through the nose for them. Where's the punchline? I just gave it to you. You remember that word synagogue Jesus said? How many of you know that that word is in the Bible, but God never sanctioned it? Now, wait a minute. Didn't they do that in the Old Testament? Not one time. You don't find one over there. What do you find over there? In the wilderness, a tabernacle. In Jerusalem, a temple. No synagogues. Well, they had to come to the Bible. Them Jews wouldn't just done that, would they? Or would they? How about between the time the last word was written in the Old Testament and the first word was written in the New Testament, there's 400 years there. they made it up so they could meet together so anyone had to drive all that way to Jerusalem or get in the chariot or walk or whatever. Therefore, every town's got a synagogue. You know, they were dispersed Jews, right? I'm not saying they shouldn't worship when they do. I'm just saying that word synagogue is not a thing God started. Now you know why it's so evil by the time John the Baptist shows up. Where did he send his prophet to in the New Testament? The last Old Testament prophet, where did he send him to? Out in the wilderness. And how'd they know he was out there except he's out there hollering and screaming like a madman and somebody went to see what it was and got a conviction and stayed? You ever had that happen in your life? Look at this. Holding fast the faith word as he hath been taught, that he may by sound doctrine both exhort and convince the gainsayers. The only way to convince those gainsayers is this. Here's what the Bible says, show it to them, and if that don't work, you leave them alone, let God deal with them. If your purpose in Bible doctrine, teaching Bible doctrine, is to convince people, then you need to convince them and do it with the scripture. I've never had somebody that's a saved person that wants to do right, that loves Jesus, and you've probably seen this as well. If you show them stuff in the Bible, God will work on them and convince them with what you're giving them. If it's not in the Bible, don't bother. If they're not saved, they'll never listen. They don't have ears to hear. I hadn't asked for permission to use this story, so I'll just leave the names blank, but it's one of you here, okay? Has just convinced a man what the Bible is by showing him the Bible. Is that right? He was on a course of religious study. Now he's on a Bible study. Who did that? God did that. How? By exhorting and convincing the gainsayers. There was a man came up and was bragging to this preacher about our churches had 10 join last night, 5 join this night, 20 the next week, and all this other stuff. And somebody turned and said, how many of them did God save down there? What do you mean, how many of them God save? Well, you bragging about all these people joining? What happened? I'll get back with you. Man goes by his church. He's a deacon. He asks the pastor, how many people are saved that's coming in here? Well, that's not our place to judge. He's like, but we've been taking in all these strays from all these other churches, getting mad at their preacher and come here. We're going to have problems. By the way, that guy left that church that night and said, I don't know what I've been doing. I was wrong. How many times do you think that church split after that happened? Not once, not twice, but 3 times. Let me explain it to you. The crowd from north side, east side, west side, and south side all came to hear the good-looking preacher. And you know what happened then? Something that wasn't of God. One crowd leaves that's mad at him. Another crowd leaves that's mad at her. Still got 2 there. Well, we're going to replace him with one that looks just like him. He tried to get out of there for 5 or 10 years, and finally somebody took his sorry tail. Mm-hmm. And then another crowd's left. Now they're down to... How'd that happen? Somebody didn't exhort and convince the gainsayers and teach them if people ain't getting saved every week, God ain't working. Might I let you know this? You can brag on numbers all you want to, but if it starts happening here, don't brag on them people. They won't be here next year, some of them. Some of them's just tares, and they'll try to tear up this church. But wait a minute. How are you going to fix that? Maybe by sound doctrine we can fix that sometimes. But you watch that crowd from north side, south side, east side, west side. Guess where they went next? Up to northwest, and down to southwest, and over to southeast. They go to the next big things in town, see. How do we stop that vicious cycle of the spinning door at the front of the church? You put your foot in it and start teaching Bible doctrine. That's how you fix it. Don't worry, they won't do it, though. They're going to try to go read a book about our post-COVID-19 world. Look over here at Titus chapter 3, it is, I believe. Titus chapter 2. I was wrong. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 10. The purpose also of Bible doctrine is to convict. You read there in that verse. After he exhorts the servants and tell them not to be back talkers and answering again, he says, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. That word purloining, oh, That's such an archaic word. It means to steal. You know exactly how to do it. Some of you steal time, you steal paper clips, you steal all this other stuff. You'd steal your neighbor's trash can if it didn't have a serial number on it, you thief. So why would I do that? Because you're a God-robbing thief, you don't tithe. I mean, listen, the thing goes on. It's not that you don't know what purloining is. You just practice it all the time to know what another word for it was. But showing off fidelity. You see that word? Oh, that's an archaic word. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know what's so funny about people saying archaic words? They don't know what archaic means. Let me tell you something. Let me tell all you players something out there. Get you a dictionary app on your phone and you can know what any word means. I mean, how many of us have carried around? I don't even have a book up here the size to make fun of it. I might got something back here. Here's my Webster's 1828 dictionary I got to keep with me so I can know what they're talking about in the King James Bible. You know, those things are this thick, right? Now, you can pull it up on the phone, touch the word, pops right up. This word means fidelity in all faithfulness. Very faithful to the principle. So our principle is a doctrine of what? What does it say there? The doctrine of God our Savior. We don't want to steal nothing from Him, purloining it from Him, but we want in all fidelity to follow Him. All fidelity, all faithfulness. Listen, get you a dictionary app. If you can't find one, there's one for free somewhere. Or you can go to dictionary.com. They have one there for free. Because, listen, for somebody telling me they don't have a phone that goes online, there's maybe one in 1,000 now that's like this. The rest of them's a bunch of us idiots trying to operate a smartphone that we have to get our kids to fix for us all the time. How you do this, son? Oh, Dad, you don't know that?
No.
Or if my son ain't around, I use one of your kids. That's why I bypass you. You don't know, you dumb like I am. I'm going to get one of them kids to show us how to work. Listen to this. I don't go back there and say, Brother Steve, how's my phone work? I say, Brother Nate, how does this phone work? Well, I just don't understand, preacher. Be faithful to the Lord and quit stealing the things that belong to God. And adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Who's God our Savior? That's pretty blatant who that is, right? That would be Jesus Christ, correct? You Bible scholars, am I right on point here? If he says to do that, how does he say to do it on Sunday morning? All things. One of you's paying attention. Thank you so much. In all things. So to wrap this all up for you, do you practice the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father.